The Reluctant Rake, written by Jane Ashford and read by Holly Warren and Caroline Slaughter.
1. Sir Richard Beckwith emerged from his elegant townhouse on a chilly spring evening, wearing a black silk domino over his dark grey pantaloons and long-tailed coat of dark blue superfine. Any one of his friends would have been astonished to see him in this guise, still more to see him out of evening dress at 9 o'clock. Had they known that a pocket of the domino held a black mask, they would have been dumbfounded. None of Sir Richard's exclusive circle was likely to see him tonight, however. When he hailed a hackney cab and climbed in, he directed it to a part of London little frequented by the hot ton. If certain of its men from time to time made their way through these unsavoury streets, they did not mention such excursions in polite society. A cold mist rose from the greasy cobblestones, enlivened here and there by hoarse laughter and singing, as the hack rattled past some gin mill or bawdy house. One victim of blue ruin went so far as to grab for the cab, hoping to jerk its occupant into an alleyway and fleece him. He missed his target, however, and fell flat in the garbage-filled gutter with a curse. Through the ride, Sir Richard sat impassive, his regular features immovable as stone, his grey eyes cold. If his goal was amusement of the type his class usually sought in this neighbourhood, he went about it with an odd implacability. The hack pulled up before a broad, soot-stained building that turned a blank facade to the street. Its windows were obscured with bars outside and heavy draperies within. Wooden double doors, firmly closed, revealed only a carved peephole at eye level.
"You sure of that address, Gov?"
wondered the driver.
"Yes."
Beckwith handed him a small coin, allowing him to see one of the larger denomination in his hand.
"Wait for me nearby. I'll call when I want you. There's a guinea for you if you come when I call."
The man stared at the money, greed warring with his desire to return to safer streets.
"Right,"
he said finally. Beckwith pulled up the hood of the domino and put on his mask, then knocked sharply on the wooden door with the head of his cane and waited. The peephole opened, and a bloodshot blue eye surveyed him with suspicion. Abruptly, the hole closed, and the bolts were shot back, allowing the door to open a crack.
"I am here for the meeting,"
Sir Richard declared.
"Password?"
came a hiss from the dimness.
"Chaos,"
he answered, in a tone that suggested he found the word offensive. The door swung open. Inside was a sharp contrast to the dirty street. A rich red Turkey carpet covered the floor, and the narrow hallway boasted French wallpaper and gilt sconces. Though the individual in charge of the door was distinctly rough-hewn, the footman who indicated that Sir Richard should follow him would not have looked out of place in Grosvenor Square. He ushered Sir Richard into a large room at the back of the building. It was furnished with the armchairs and side tables of a gentleman's club, but the inhabitants were not so familiar. Many wore domino and mask, like Sir Richard. Others had clearly cast off these disguises with their third or fourth brandies and were loud with the effects of drink. The buxom young women who served them endured their fondling and leers with good-humoured impertinence and a sharp eye for the banknotes that were continually being folded and thrust lingeringly into bodices.